Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Unpack your knives and stay. Yes, stay. Welcome, everybody, to a new season of the Top Chef Wrap Up. We're in Portland, in spirit, obviously not physically. Still not super able to leave the country right now. Hope you guys are all doing well. Isn't it crazy how this time last year we were starting the Top Chef podcast and we figured by this time now we'd be not doing things the way we're doing things? LOL. How naive we were a year ago. Anyway. I'm here. I'm Haley Strong. What's up? And I'm joined by our panel this season. A little bit of a shakeup, but it's going to be a fantastique, as Le Francaise would say. But I'm joined, as always, Kurt Clark. What up?
Yo, yo, yo. How you doing?
I'm great. How is your... I haven't chatted to you since we left the tent back on the GBBDO podcast. How you doing?
Doing well. I think since we last chatted, I've moved from Los Angeles to back home to my home state of Michigan and experiencing a different world of cuisine, not a new world of cuisine necessarily. but I'm in a new place, in a new job, in a new time zone. It's all wonderful. I'm halfway in between my two Pfizer vaccinations. So yay me. Doing well.
Good. And we're joined by our new Top Chef panelist for this season and hopefully beyond, honestly, LaTanya Starks. What is up? How are you doing? Welcome to the club.
Hi. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to be here. I do not feel at all qualified to do this, but I'm happy that I was chosen anyway.
Do you like food, LaTanya?
I am a fan of the cuisine.
Then you are more than qualified. That's all we ask.
Wonderful. It was this time last year for me, I was listening to the finale of the Top Chef podcast brought to you by the RHAP and being like, "Huh, that sounds like a wonderful thing that people get to do, a podcast about Top Chef. I love that show." And then I heard the commercial that was kind of like calling for new talent. And on the finale podcast, which was the last day to apply. And now I'm here, which is wild to me. I'm very excited.
So excited to have you. And it's like we hear about those people who make it onto Survivor and Big Brother, like getting their tapes in at the last minute. You're like the watered down version of that. You get to be on our podcast.
Our tiny corner of the internet.
Yes.
It's not watered down for me. I'll say that.
Oh, gosh. But at this point, what are we at, Haley? Is this like five seasons, six seasons? I keep losing count.
Of coverage of Top Chef?
Yeah.
You guys started with Top Chef Boston. I joined a couple seasons later. I can't remember. What was it? Colorado, I think I became full time.
Okay.
Because I jumped in on a few episodes during Fans versus Favorites, but I came full time in Colo, as the Coloradans call it, I'm sure. But yeah, we're so excited because honestly, we weren't sure if we were going to get a season of Top Chef this year. So many of our favorite TV shows were in flux. But last fall, our Top Chef contingent went to Portland. They filmed a whole season. They took all of the precautions necessary. And here we are enjoying it. And I'm really excited to get the season started. I've heard interviews with the judges saying that this is one of the most talented casts we've seen. Mm-hmm. I think this first episode was really fantastic. But I forgot how hard it is to get to know everyone in that first episode. You know, last season was All Stars, so we knew everyone. It was just kind of like a reminder we're here. I feel like we got the hits of a few people. It made me nervous that some of the people we saw a lot of, it felt obvious that they were probably going to be the ones going home, maybe. But I'm just excited to have a new season here. What are you guys thinking?
Oh, good. I mean, it's something I've been waiting for. Again, I love the food. I was curious how we were going to kind of frame up the quarantine and the pandemic that we're all living under. I thought the opening was really powerful. Just in terms of, like, you know, it's some of the things we've seen before, shots of like an empty city. And but then just hearing all the stories about, you know, some of the chefs having to furlough their staff, and like, this is their family, and they had to let 30 members of their family go. It was, I think it was really powerful from that perspective. But then it kind of started to feel a little bit familiar as we got into it. What did you think, Latanya, about how things kicked off the season?
I agree. I thought that it was very powerful, even down to the details that we sometimes don't pay as much attention to, such as the kitchen being so much larger to accommodate people socially distancing while cooking. And then, you know, the one of my favorite things about the show is the chefs losing it, trying to get what they want from Whole Foods. And now they just get to make a request of all the ingredients that they want, and someone brings them those ingredients. So part of it is like, oh no. But the other part of it is, okay, I feel like, you know, I feel seen by this show, because a lot of my life in the last year, and a lot of our lives in the last year, has been about people, like, you know, ordering things and having people bring them to us. So
I think when we were talking about this last summer, Haley, and like the possibility of it coming back, I think one of the things we brought up was like, how would they even handle the shopping? If anything, while I kind of miss that rush, it potentially allows us to open up other parts of kind of devoting time to other parts of the competition. But one thing I think I'm going to miss is the, I don't know, it's, I think the nice thing about shopping in a store, like, well, just going there in person, is like that opportunity for kind of chance discovery, seeing something on the shelf you might not have thought about otherwise. And you really diminish, I think, that opportunity if you're shopping online. It's almost like you more have to be, yes, you have to kind of go with an idea of what you want. But I think by shopping online, you have to have a very specific idea of the ingredients you're seeking out versus wandering down a specific condiments aisle and looking for a specific section and looking for something to inspire you. I'm hope that doesn't, you know, dampen the potential creativity and serendipity of some of the cooking and some of the meals that we see.
I forgot about the shop. I honestly forgot about it. It didn't even cross my mind. Out of sight, out of mind. It truly did not occur to me until you guys just mentioned it. It was an interesting episode. And I was mentioning to Ethan that I don't know if I'm going to be able to go back in 5 years and rewatch any of the seasons of any of my favorite shows that kind of represent this time period for me, just because I feel like it's one of those things I'm going to really want to forget. And I don't want to go back and remember kind of the weird things we were going through. Maybe I'm just one of those people who tries to put all of their problems out of sight. But let's get into the cast.
Yeah.
Let's get into the cast. It's a great one. We have Brittany Anderson from Richmond, Virginia.
She does alpine cooking. Was the thing several things stood out to me about Brittany. She, you know, looking ahead to the to the quick fire, you know, they each had to like label what's the one ingredient they can't do without. And she said Gruyere cheese because she does Alpine cooking. And I think I think I would really enjoy exploring an Alpine cooking restaurant. I'm curious what it would look like. I'm picturing lots of timber. But was she also the one that said that she took up tattooing as a hobby? Like she learned how to tattoo at home over COVID. I think that was one of the conversations she was having.
Yeah.
How long was your episode?
Oh, I forgot. We have the Canadian version with Haley. Ah. Ours was 75 minutes.
Shit. Okay. So I missed at least 15 minutes of content. I don't think I got. And, oh, God, I'm so annoyed. Like, why didn't I even check? I should have known. I think I missed the COVID restaurant talk. I definitely missed this.
they were sitting around. So she also said, so, you know, there's another difference. They're staying at a hotel this time instead of like a fancy house somewhere in some local neighborhood. Yeah. And she was the one that expressed like living in a hotel. This is going to be awesome. And and I think it must have been between there was some point there was I think it was after the main competition had kicked off, but before they were going to be cooking the next day, they were all kind of chilling at it kind of looks like they have the lounge area of the hotel to themselves. They're playing pool. And that's where she announced to everybody that she learned how to tattoo at home as a hobby over COVID. I don't know what I think of that. I mean, kudos to her. Yeah. I don't know if I would go to a home tattooer.
A lot of people seem to enjoy getting their own tattoo guns and just kind of going to work. And there are tattoo parties. A lot of times those aren't home tattooers though. They'll pay an expert to come in and just like tattoo everyone there. The thing that I know about having a tattoo gun is just about Margot Robbie having one, because she talked about how she messed up someone's tattoo on the set of like the first Suicide Squad movie. So they were getting everyone tattoos that said Squad S-Q-K-W-A-D. And she inverted the letters K and A. So it just seems like it would be rife with disasters, total disasters.
Yeah, keep it professional with that one is my opinion. Not to slight Brittany. Any first impressions of Brittany from you, Haley?
I really liked her. I thought she was fun. And I can't fault somebody who's must-have ingredient is Gruyere cheese.
Yeah, cheese.
Cheese. And she was the one that was like questioning. I think the other people on her team, I think that the dish was going to be at first they were like, would seafood and mole go okay together? But they ended up going with pork and mole. And then she's like, can you put cheese on that? And I'm like, yes, you can. I don't see why not.
And then also on her team for the quick fire was Gabriel. His ingredient was caul fat. Let me do a quick Google on what that is.
I had to Google what that was as well. Now I know.
Okay, it's like a netting around internal organs of some animals. I've definitely seen this before on like Chopped. But you can't live without this. Like, this is the one ingredient. You're like, this is it.
I'm like, it's because at one point I know that Padma was questioning, like, you picked rice vinegar. We have that. And I'm like, right. So I guess they could, I would have put salt, but
I don't blame the chefs for I truly can't live without butter. I cook in everything. Like I would take it pretty literally. I wouldn't be like, what don't they have in the kitchen that I would use? Like, that wouldn't be my first thought. I would probably go butter or something pretty basic.
But if I,
yeah, this is kind of like fancy chitlins, right? Like that's from the pictures that I've seen of it, that essentially what this is. And I don't know how I feel about someone whose go-to ingredient is fancy chitlins, but you know, like, to each their own, and they ended up doing okay, if I remember.
Yeah, I think they were hoping that they would win because they had the three ingredients that didn't really seem to go together.
Right.
They had with the Gruyere cheese, the caul fat, and the Mexican chocolate. Yeah. And I think, you know, and I think he was saying that he used the call. Gabriel was saying he uses the call.
I mixed up Gabe and Gabriel. Oh, too so
that's
many.
Gonna
yeah,
be,
it's gonna
Gabe's
be a
and Gabriel's. I didn't
One
even realize. My bad. I found Gabriel, I'm going to be honest, a scooch annoying.
Well, did you know that he worked for Tom Colicchio?
He mentioned it. I find him very hot, but very annoying.
Wow. I love that you just went there. Okay.
He's very dry in terms of, like, again, the traditional draft of Kurt choosing the plain vanilla white guy. I think this is the one who fits that slot. I think.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah. But the other thing is, like, his name's Gabriel Pescuzzi, not to get confused with Survivor fans, Gabby Pescuzzi. So I think that's something we may need to get her take on this guy. Wonder if there's any relation. Guessing not.
Now that I'm with him and knowing that his ingredient was call fat, like, I'm feeling like he picked that just to be like, I'm fancy.
there was also the moment when they were kind of, you know, signaling who in the room has won a James Beard Award been nominated for a James. Yeah. And does anybody else like what do you think?
Eater Magazine's top Portland chef. In 2017.
What
an illustrious. No, like, don't, I, honestly, no, that's great. I would not win. I have never won an award for anything. I haven't even gotten, like, participation medals because I'm that bad at things.
And no shade on that from me, but the way it was edited, where he kind of, they asked, he answered, but, like, the musical sting that they used, and then I think it was maybe Maria or that glanced over. Yeah, and there was, like, a raised eyebrow.
They're trying to get me to hate him.
Exactly. He's definitely a wonderful person. Yeah, exactly.
And if he's listening to this, please know that any of the Top Chef contestants that happen to do a little Google search of Top Chef podcast and stumbled upon our lovely little product, please know, we are not commenting on who you are as a person. We obviously cannot taste your food. We are commenting on the TV product we are being shown. And some of us, we don't even get the full TV product. So sorry, everyone.
I mean, this is like, I believe it was our British Bake Off podcast, Haley, where we were hating on Peter, the most lovable person in the entire cast. So,
and people started getting mad at us
about that.
Yeah. We love Peter.
We do.
And guess what? Guess who listens to all of their bakes now? This girl.
Nice.
I take it out of the oven. I listen to it. See if it's done. Thank you, Peter.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, you're listening to, like, his streams of his baking processes. But
No.
He puts his ear down to the bake and listens for the bubbling.
Show, that's slash, right. Yeah, slash, like, possible antagonist. There's a point when they're doing the team challenge, the quick fire, where he is, like, really kind of, like, he's off-putting and in his demeanor a little bit when he's like, don't take that off, that's the way that Tom Colicchio likes it. And there's nicer ways to say that. And, you know, it's an editing thing again. Like, we have no idea.
I completely agree. And, like, and just, like, the little moments of, like, well, we're going to win this because our ingredients were the weirdest. Why didn't we win? Our ingredients were the weirdest. So I thought maybe he'd be the one going home this episode because we saw a lot of him. The rounding out their team was Maria. Her ingredient was Mexican chocolate.
Yeah, and I think this is where Gabriel's chimed in saying, well, they think they were going to maybe do a mole. And I love me a mole. They're like, give me mole all day long. And I think they were just suggesting, like, could it go with shrimp or seafood? And Maria was like, seafood and mole? How dare you? And I'm like, what's wrong with seafood and mole? I would eat that all day.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Maria. I think she's bright and she just doesn't take any S, which I appreciate.
You're going to abbreviate the swears.
I know. Sorry. I'm only given, like, 3 swears per episode on podcasts now. So I got to limit them, and I already used them up. So
I like Maria a lot. you know, there's like a point in the episode where also Gabriel again is just like, damn, you're using all of the stove. And Maria's just like, move whatever you want, hon. Like, it's not a big deal. So she seems really laid back. She seems like the type of person that you'd want to hang out with. And, exactly. You know, she talks a little bit about people not thinking that she is a good enough chef because she makes tacos. But I don't know. I don't want to speak for others, but I can say for myself, a good taco is like just, you know, it's like hearing the sirens sing, basically. So if she's like as good at making tacos as I think that she is, then she should never have any self-doubt about it.
And I believe she was one of the James Beard nominees as well.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and then I agree with you completely. There's the point where she's like, you know, people may judge me for this, but I don't care. And no, you shouldn't. So it was, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing more of her. I think it sounds like that their team was like toward the top. It just wasn't the one that won out. So, mm-hmm. And we ended up seeing Gabriel, at the top of the elimination challenge as well. So I think, although Brittany was kind of in between, I think that was a pretty strong group of three there. So,
yeah, for sure.
Also on top of the quick fire, a team made of Kiki, Sarah, and Sasha, they ended up winning. Kiki, let me scroll to her profile. Let me find it.
She got the hot peppers.
Let's see if I remember to put these in the show notes to send. I will. I'll try and remember to send this thing. She's from Detroit. How should I say Detroit? Detroit or Detroit?
Detroit.
Detroit. And I don't
know.
Oh,
gosh. You guys can't hear me right now, can you?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, we can. We heard you say Detroit.
like four times, at least.
Yeah. Who? Is that a Canadian thing? Detroit? Huh. Never heard it pronounced that way.
Yeah, she's local. It might be. She's local to me, technically. I mean, same state, 3-hour drive. I may have to go once things get a little bit more opened up. May have to head to Detroit and check out some of her stuff.
I like Kiki already because my nickname is Kiki, and so I've got to support all Kikis.
Noted.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try that one out.
Latanya, how is your nickname Kiki? Well, my middle name is Keontea, and so my family always called me Kiki for short. But it's really cool that, you know, the type of cuisine that she's doing. She's apparently a writer and a food activist as well. And she is working very hard to bring, like, to shine a spotlight on more, did she say Western and Central African cooking?
Yeah, she's the daughter of a Congolese immigrant. Which is very cool in a perspective that I don't know if we've seen much of on reality television as a whole.
True.
And she's a graduate of Le Cordon Bleu.
What was that, Latanya?
I was just saying it's cool that she's not the only one this season doing that. Other people are making dishes with African flavors as well.
It's really exciting to see so many different backgrounds highlighted in this. I think even just the first episode gave us a real insight into how many different stories we're going to see that we've never seen before. And I'm really looking forward to that. Also on Kiki's team, we had Sarah, who seems to be our season's unconfident gal.
Yeah.
Which is sad because she's so cool. Spoiler alert, she ends up winning the main challenge this episode, even though she was convinced she was going to lose. She's the head chef at a vineyard, which is fun.
Yeah, I think she was the one that was saying that she doesn't do this chefy stuff. She's like just rather like kind of chill at home. It was like I'm picking up on the Sarah vibe. I'm vibing with Sarah. She seems very kind of chill, laid back, and that's something I can relate to.
Sarah's great, in terms of just being able to, it's kind of like she's this season's Stephanie.
Yes, very much so.
But, you know, like starting off with a win, you know, instead of building up to it the way that Stephanie did. But, you know, in the same way that Stephanie became such a beloved contestant for everyone, because she was just kind of real about how essentially she's got imposter syndrome.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that really spoke to me. I was like, okay, same. Yes, let's do it. Like, go ahead and like kick all the ass and like win challenges and then be like, what afterwards?
And the interesting thing about this group of three is they all actually, they're looking ahead to the elimination challenge where they had to pick a game bird found in Oregon to make a dish.
Oregon,
out of.
I believe it's pronounced.
Oregon. They all picked
Portland,
the quail.
Oregon.
These three all picked the quail. I mean, they're like quail. Yep. Quail. Yep. Well, yep. So that kind of took it off the board for everybody else. So I'm guessing, I mean, not to jump too far ahead, when the other chefs had to kind of break those eggshells and determine what bird they had to cook with, I'm guessing there was a swap in there that we saw off camera to make sure that there were no quail represented in the random sorter of the eggs. Yeah, so, and it's interesting also is that I think with this threesome that took the quail, Sarah was in the top, Kiki was in the middle, and Sasha, who we haven't talked about yet, was in the bottom. So yeah.
Let's talk about Sasha. I love this quote from her bio. During the pandemic, Sasha has started a focaccia business that she hopes to take national. Hmm. Well, Sasha, I hope you take it international because I would love some focaccia. She is our Italian cook of the season. Yeah. Which is fun. I'm excited. Hopefully she won't, you know, pull a sasso, and make weird pasta at the beginning. I like Sasha. She seems fun. I really like these three women together. I think they all brought something different, and it really worked, obviously, because they created the top dish. This is probably what I would have chosen to order in a restaurant. I think it's
of the five dishes from the cookfire?
Of the five, yeah. I think it sounded really good. It looked beautiful. It was an exciting dish for me. It seemed to hit every note I'm looking for personally.
And can we remind people what that dish was again?
Of course, yeah. We can. What a great idea. It was a harissa seared halibut with Meyer lemon anchovy salsa verde with roasted hot red pepper relish and an herb salad.
Yeah, when Sasha was talking about Meyer lemons, I was like, you had me at Meyer. big fan of a Meyer lemon and the way that it brings out flavors in the in food. But yeah, definitely would have wanted their dish. I agree with you all on that.
Well, I think for me, I would have. I'm not the biggest fish fan. So we've got halibut. We've got two scallop dishes. Which I prefer scallops and like shellfish to a fish. Mm-hmm. But I think I actually would have gone for the pork loin with mole and apparently the questionable Gruyere gremolata, although I guess it got pulled off. But
liked it.
Yeah. The other thing I liked about this team in their dynamic was there was like one point where I think Sarah was asking Sasha, you think that needs more lemon? And you could just see like there was this actually Sasha took a thoughtful moment. It was like, no, or maybe could you do lemon zest? And like Sarah's like, yes, can do lemon. Like you could see them kind of building the dish together as they went. I mean, not the foundation of it, but like the layers that you need to add on top of it. Mm-hmm. And so I really liked the dynamic between these three. And I think when they even formed the team at the beginning, when they saw they all drew the same knife for team five, that they kind of clued on to the fact that, you know, we're kind of a kick-ass powerhouse, the three of us, and I think mm-hmm. they ended up winning. So, and good thing for Sasha, that because the three of them ended up having immunity, which, you know,
I was really surprised that all they doled out three immunities this episode.
Yeah,
might as well.
You're right. What else are they doing?
Well, yeah. I was more surprised that they doled out three immunities and then said, and you will have an advantage in the elimination challenge. Yeah. I'm like, why do you need an advantage in the elimination challenge?
Going home.
Yeah, if you can't go home. So, or maybe
but it's
it was
not like they got like 20 more minutes to cook. It was like, okay, right. You get to choose from these four birds.
Right. Yeah. I thought what they were, the opportunity that they were given to choose their birds first was fair. I think maybe when they said that they would get an advantage, I was thinking it was going to potentially be something a little bit more game changing, especially because, you know, given how the quail as a dish can placed in the top, middle, and low parts, it wasn't necessarily too much of an advantage. It just seemed like everybody didn't want the turkey. You know,
no one ever wants turkey. It seems people hate turkey.
I love turkey. I'm a big turkey fan.
I mean, I'm a turkey fan as it pertains to like holiday meals.
Yeah, it would just be a hard Top Chef thing. That's for sure.
Like, how do you chefify it?
Our group in the middle, we had one of the stars of the episode, in my opinion, with Avishar. I think he has a great personality. He's a lot of fun. I think he's going to be a really exciting chef. I really hope that he had a rough episode. I really hope he can turn things around and stick around for a while.
And his must-have ingredient was mom's chutney. So it's like literally his mom's homemade chutney. Is that what we're thinking? That's not a brand, right?
I mean, they're like, okay, you're going to need to bring some of this chutney. I love that. It was brilliant. I love that. And I think that's a really great ingredient that would work with a lot of dishes.
Yeah, or alone. Just, chutney is delicious.
Just eat it with a spoon like he was doing it at the beginning.
And his voice was like so deep and like melodramatic too, like in terms of like when he speaks, it actually kind of hypnotizes me a little bit. It's like I'm not expecting that voice to have such a deep bass coming from him. He was unfortunately in the bottom, but luckily he sticks around and just looking more to see kind of what we get from him.
Also in that group, we have Byron, whose ingredient he can't live without, mushroom powder.
Yeah, what?
I'd be interested to try this mushroom powder.
Is that something you all use ever?
I've never even heard of it before.
Yeah, that was another of my Googles. That, the cow fat and kombu and the masa. I was just like, this is why I don't think I'm qualified for this show. Oh. I have to Google everything.
we usually just kind of gloss over the things we don't know. So you're one step ahead of us. I was surprised. It was like, I mean, I'm assuming it was just, I could be wrong. And this is, I'm sure the internet will correct me. I just assumed it was powdered mushrooms. And I'm like, why wouldn't it? I was surprised it wasn't like cremini mushrooms or some other kind of mushroom. Mushroom powder. It works. Yeah. I mean, we got in the middle, so. We didn't see a lot of Byron, I think, other than that. I think
we really didn't. I'm looking forward to getting to know more about Byron. Rounding out that team was Nelson. He brought plantains to the table.
I think he was the one that kind of brought up we saw the return of Mofongo in terms of dish. I think that he kind of exchanged a knowing glance with Gregory. We didn't really talk about Gregory was one of the guest judges. He was just so happy to be there.
I was happy for him to be there. I was like,
yeah, same.
Oh, God. Like, it has not been very long since we've seen Gregory, but I've missed Gregory.
Yeah. And the fact that he had to go out due to an injury,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it wasn't anything that he was doing. And he was on a roll at that point. Like, he was cooking really, really well. And, you know, sometimes you get injured, you end up on the IR and there's nothing you can do about it. So it was great to see him back. It was really great to see all of the guest judges that were there. It was wonderful to have Kwame back. Love him so much. And, you know, Melissa King is the king of my heart.
I'm constantly stricken by her. Like, she is so beautiful and smart and well spoken. Like, I just, every time she spoke at the judges table, I was like, this is just heaven for me. And I'd be fine with her being a permanent judge five ever.
It would be fantastic.
She's so considered and thoughtful, when she like is kind of, you can tell she's really taking the time to evaluate what's put in front of her. I was just from the moment, like even like Gregory stepped out, I was just grinning from ear to ear. Like it's, yes, we have these 15 new faces, but it seems like over the course of the season, we're going to have like potentially 15 familiar faces as well.
Yeah. And Richard Blaze's hair is a whole other character.
Wow. That was interesting. Even somebody's Padma, taking quarantine like hair to a new level.
Anytime Padma is just like, dude, get control of your hair on national television, then that says something.
And that was like, and that looked like that was, like almost like a behind the scenes camera shot, like the way that that was kind of inserted into the proceedings looked a little bit odd. So it was almost like, it's almost like it was like put on the cutting room floor. It's like, no, we got to keep this in. And I think even Gabriel was commenting like, whoa, that's some hair.
This is definitely some hair.
Oh, Richard Blaze.
Maybe he liquid nitrogened it too much.
That's what he uses like for holding.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of any type of product, he just uses liquid nitrogen.
Yeah.
Just like on all his foods. It's wonderful.
It does appear in the previews like he gets a little bit more under control.
Good.
And I'm not I'm not sure if that's based on feedback from Padma or just if this was just a let me try this, but it was a choice.
Yeah.
So this team made a surf and turf scallop. The surf was the scallop. The turf was mushrooms with a tomato sofrito, one fungo, mushroom puree with an apple chutney. This sounds nice, but I cannot eat scallops, so I just never even think about it.
Yeah, we've lost.
You can't eat scallops.
I know. I'm devastated, honestly.
So you're probably not a fan then also of the, or at least you would not have been able to eat the blue team's dish of scallops poached in kombu butter with parsnip puree and pickles.
You're right. But if I had to choose between the dish that I had to eat that would make me violently ill, I would pick this surf and turf scallop. It just felt more complete. The scallops poached in butter with a parsnip puree, like I just need a little bit more. So that was brought to us by Chris, Shota, and Roscoe. They were the most like, oh, what do we do with these ingredients? They had butter, they had kombu, and rice vinegar, where I didn't feel like these three ingredients were that out of place. I feel like the rice vinegar you could have used in like a coleslaw or something. Roscoe is a barbecue chef. Like, I feel like that would have been a good place to go. The butter you could use in 5 billion different ways.
Yeah.
You could use it in anything.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if, I'm sure, I doubt this is the case, but I mean, this is one of the teams that placed on the bottom. And I'm hoping it wasn't because they chose butter and rice vinegar, because it's not like they knew. Most likely, it's not like they knew coming in that this was going to be part of a challenge. They may have just been asked the question. And it's also just by sheer chance that they ended up on the same team together.
Yeah, I don't think if that was taken into consideration, I don't think that's fair. But it didn't really seem like it was taken into consideration.
Right.
We didn't see a lot of Chris this episode either. It didn't seem.
Mm-mm.
No, not at all.
We saw a lot of Roscoe, though.
We did see a lot of Roscoe. I felt bad for the guy. Fast forwarding to his elimination dish, the duck adobo with sweet potato dumplings. Like, I would have like, that's probably one of the dishes I would have picked off of a menu. I mean, it just sounds amazing.
Yeah, Roscoe just seemed to be completely thrown off after the first quick fire didn't go super well for him, and that kind of carried into the main challenge.
Yeah, I was glad to see that at least, like, so he's the pit master. I thought he had an interesting, well, one of the other things is he's one of the few people where we got kind of a sweeping story about, like, we didn't have a lot of origin stories, but here we did in terms of him going to like art school, focusing on design. And then he, you know, he ended up going to Chez Panisse to cook, and now he's like the pit master.
How do you say that with a straight face?
Chez Panisse or pit master?
Chez Panisse.
Can you see my screen? And do I have a straight face?
You're gonna tell me that you like, I'm, unless you see it written down, you're like, What did they say?
Okay, I'm now picking up what you're putting down. And I remember when I typed into my notes, how is this spelled? Oh, okay. I'm just gonna spell it phonetically. So yeah, completely straight face here. But then he went from there to be the pit master at a restaurant I can't remember. I got his bio up. I can just pull it there. Yeah. I was actually right on him at Rodney Scott's Barbecue, which Gail apparently knows.
Yeah, Gail knows it. And they said that the smoked meat portion of his dish was great.
Yeah.
It was just, you could tell by just looking at that broth that dish was going to be on the bottom because you could see the oil.
It was oily. Mm-hmm. It was oily. We had that in a couple instances, like even fast forwarding to, we've talked about Avishar. He had the chucker/partridge. I'm upset no one like paired it with a pear, like a pear tree.
Sort of yeah. Missed opportunities.
That might've been too cute. But his chucker fried chucker, they said that the bird was prepared wonderfully, but it was the rice and curry that was that fell really flat. And I felt so bad for him because of that. It's like a lot. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, Roscoe ended up going home. But yeah, it wasn't because of the duck, but more so because of just the oiliness of, you know, what it was in, unfortunately.
Thank God for Last Chance Kitchen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Words that are seldom spoken on this podcast.
Latonya. Really? Oh. Well,
no. Just in terms of...
Not by us. We're fine with it. Josh is a hater.
Josh is not a fan of Last Chance
Josh
Kitchen.
Josh hates it. He hated it.
But the... I felt for the guy. Yeah, but this is another team where you had someone in the top, someone in the bottom, and someone in the middle, which I thought was interesting. Then we had Shota on the team. I adore Shota.
Oh, he's great. Yeah, I'm excited for him. I'm very excited for him.
Adorable laugh.
Oh yeah, like his laugh is the fact that I don't. Did they include the laugh part in your viewing of it?
Yes, I got that.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, the fact that his laughter just makes everybody in the kitchen smile. Except maybe Dawn. Dawn did she didn't smile much this episode.
We'll Dawn's get to Dawn intense. I love
Dawn
it.
Is intense.
I love
you
it.
You can feel that Dawn is an athlete.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So the last team is Jamie, Gabe, and Dawn. Jamie brought fish sauce, Gabe brought masa, and Dawn brought smoked trout roe. Together, they made a halibut memela with fish sauce, butterscotch, and smoked trout roe crema.
I had butterscotch part of it, but
yeah. It felt like this team had the least amount of chemistry. Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe Jamie has gotten used to working with people who get her, and maybe these are people who do not get her yet. Dawn is an athlete in the kitchen. That's for sure.
It's awesome that, I mean, I liked, this was another person we got a little bit of the story of, but you can't include an Olympic athlete and not have that like be part of the story. So I wasn't too worried that the story we were getting was because she was going to be going home, even though she kind of ended up in a bit of trouble in the elimination challenge.
That's a testament to how good she is.
Yeah.
We'll get to it, but she forgot a whole element of her dish, possibly the most, like one of the more important elements. And she was in the middle. Like her dish was so good that she forgot a part of it and it didn't matter.
I also like, this was during this challenge was she had, well, this was also, I think, the team that they said we all prepared the fish. Like one of them put it in the dish, one of them turned it, one took it out of the pan. But there was that moment where Jamie sauces the fish on the skin side. Mm-hmm. And we kind of got a Jim Halpert moment where Dawn like looks at the camera like, are you kidding me?
Oh, that made me cry. I loved it.
It was so It was funny, but I felt bad for Jamie, but it also is one of those things where, you know, this is a mistake that you make because you're nervous, I guess, because that's something that you're taught pretty early on, from my understanding, when you learn how to cook fish. I think it's going to take a while for the contestants and the judges to get used to Jamie and Jamie's personality, because she basically speaks in like Star Wars beeps and boops to describe things, which is an acquired taste for some. But you could see at the judging table that when they panned over Tom, when this was happening, that he was just like, "What are you doing?" So the combination of that, I did think it was nice of them to not throw anybody under the bus and be just say, "We all cook the fish."
Yeah, I mean, it worked. The thing I'm happy is I actually made salmon for dinner last night, and I ended up saucing. First of all, I made my first sauce. It was like a reduced honey mustard sauce, and I put it on the correct side. But that's only because I burnt the holy hell out of the skin and I put that side down because I was making dinner for my mom. And so that side just had to go down because it was the one that was more burnt, and then you sauce the top of it. So, but I was watching, I was like, I did this correctly. Very happy for myself.
Yeah. Good for you.
So let's get into the elimination challenge. They had to create a dish featuring a game bird found in Oregon, a quail, duck, partridge, turkey, or squab. I thought the setup for this challenge was cool. It was going to be a blind tasting. The judges weren't going to know who was presenting the dish. So I love when they do that. I think it gives them a real opportunity to be very creative with it. You could take it a lot of different ways. You can really put your own spin on it. And also, let's talk a little bit more about what the judging is going to consist of this season. Instead of, you know, doing different things where you have like one guest judge come in or have a restaurant of people, this season they're going to have a revolving panel of former contestants as judges, which I think is a brilliant move. You know, we don't have to be constantly introduced to people, keeps things safer for them. And I trust the opinions of the people we're seeing. So some of the people we got this episode was Melissa, Kwame, Gregory, Amar.
Yeah.
Who else?
Richard.
Who
am I missing? Dale and Richard.
And Dale.
Right. I loved hearing the opinions of them. I'm worried I'm going to get a little bored that it's just a long table every episode of people, but I'm excited for the All-Stars portion of it. Like, what a great handholding to last season.
Yeah, I'm curious how some of our normal staples of Top Chef are going to be handled here, from like the obviously Restaurant Wars. Curious how I try not to watch the preview or the previews are next on or this season on. This is the Top Chef is notorious for spoiling things in their upcoming previews. But I did take notice they are doing Restaurant Wars this season, but there's other things like oftentimes they'll do the charity dinner or the big events or the, you know, feed the public sort of food trucky sort of things. And a lot of these, I think, are going to be, I'm sure a lot of these can be still handled with appropriate precautions, but I'm curious what is going to change this season because of COVID.
Okay, so let's start with the squabbies. So squab was cooked by Gabriel, Byron, and Maria. Gabriel made roasted squab with local honey, charred onion petals, grilled plums, and jus. Byron made a sweet Thai-style grilled squab with green mango jicama salad, sweet potato cake, coconut sauce, and herb oil. And then Maria made enchiladas, potosinas stuffed with braised squab and queso fresco over a goat cheese crema. Out of these three, I think I would pick Maria's dish. I love the sound of it. And Gabriel's, I get where they're going, that sometimes simplicity is better. For me, it just felt a little too simple for me to order off a menu or something like that.
I know what you mean, because I tend to go for like, ooh, this is something
complicated. I want a side, you know, I love a side.
I think I might have gone for Gabriel's only because squab and honey sounds interesting. I think I would like charred onion petals, and I'm intrigued by grilled plums. But you've got the goat cheese crema in the end.
Yeah, exactly. Pour that on my body and call it a day.
That's the podcast, folks.
Yeah, we're done. Thank you. Where do you lean amongst these three, LaTanya? You pick a squab.
I agree with Haley about the enchiladas. Yeah. Mostly, I think, because it's squab. And I don't know that I've had squab before. I'm one of those people who, I'm kind of particular about food, but I want to experience everything as well. You know, like when traveling, you know, that'll happen again at some point in the next 5 years. You want to have, you know, a dish that you haven't had all the time. And I think that it would be the best delivery system, in my opinion, to have something like squab. The goat cheese crema, please, por favor.
Although for Byron's, underreported, I'm a big fan of jicama. Let me try the sweet potato. Get the sweet potato cake as a side. Can I do that? Just like take it off of Byron's menu and put it as a side.
The sweet potato cake feels a little out of place for me.
It's Thai style and sweet potato cake. Well,
I felt like it would have been complete with the mango jicama salad.
Yeah.
Like, that makes sense to me. It feels like the sweet potato cake was a little out of place, but that's just me personally. Covering duck, we have Roscoe, Shota, and Gabe. Roscoe made the duck adobo with sweet potato dumplings. Shota made soy braised duck breast with candied pecans, bonito flakes, and pumpkin white miso puree. And Gabe made chintesle glazed duck with smoked mushrooms, charred onions, figs, and pisile mixe. I think I gotta go with Shota's here. That sounds absolutely delicious. I love duck.
It looked fantastic when he was like taking it out, you know, to rest before he put it back into the sauce. It just looked so delicious. It's one of those instances where you can really feel, I don't know. So there are sometimes on Top Chef where you can like tell through the screen, like, oh, that's going to be good. Mm-hmm. That was definitely the dish for me. I love duck as well, especially when they do it right. And it has like the crunchy, like more, crunchy skin to it. Yep. Mm-hmm. And this looked exactly like how I'd want to eat duck. So, yeah, I'm going that way, too.
Mark me down as a third. You had me at soy braised and candied pecans.
Yeah. And
I'm also wondering because like out of these three duck dishes, Shota's and Gabe's were in the top. But I wonder if just because they were so good, if part of the reason for Roscoe's elimination is the fact that in this threesome of dishes, the other two were so good that just maybe potentially by contrast. I mean, yeah, it did look oily.
And that maybe it makes me think that if he would have had a different bird, this concept would have worked better because duck is known to be a little bit greasier, a little bit oilier. So I think if he had pretty much any of the, if he had turkey, I think that would have been a really great fit because the turkey needs more moisture, but it won't add any grease to the broth.
Was this the dish where Melissa had said when you added the hot liquid to the duck, it just dried it out more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was surprised at that.
It's also colored, I think, by the fact that, you know, Tom like pronounces duck is the easiest thing in the world to cook, you know? So if that's an opinion shared by the rest of the people that are on the judging panel, then they're going to judge a duck in addition to like the other duck dishes being in the top. That means they're going to judge all of them that much more harshly because they believe that duck is the easiest to cook.
I think we've seen in the past on Top Chef when even you don't have these common ingredient limitations where you have people who are kind of forced to use the same element. When you see people finding out that somebody else in the kitchen is doing a similar dish using a same kind of foundational element, oftentimes you'll see a little bit of panic and second guessing in terms of, well, I'm going to change up my dish, because it seems like the consensus is that on Top Chef, then it's those two dishes will be directly compared against each other. And someone will often eat, either one of them will be in the top or one of them will be in the bottom, because you have no choice but to compare them, given that they both contain duck, for example. But in this challenge, they're kind of forced into that across five different birds. Mm-hmm. So
I really thought Shota was going to win this one, and I was pretty surprised that he didn't. Let's move on to the quail. We have our winning team, Sarah, Sasha, and Kiki, all working with quail. Sarah made, and this was the winning dish, glazed quail with green beans, charred dates, and grilled eggplant coconut yogurt. Sasha made roasted quail with polenta, creme fraiche, roasted grapes, and red wine jus. And Kiki made Moambe quail with sweet corn grits and boiled and pickled peanuts. I think I'd have to go for Kiki's here if I saw that on a menu. I'm just more interested in this dish. It was the one that fell in the middle. Sasha ended up being in the bottom, but she had immunity, so it didn't really matter. And I would eat Sarah's, but it doesn't call to me. I think the most interesting part for me is the grilled eggplant coconut yogurt. I would really like to try that. But as a complete dish, it just didn't really draw me. Which one, Latanya, what would you pick from these three?
Yeah, that's the thing, is I... It's a tough decision because I'm not really drawn to most of these things. I guess if a polenta is done correctly, then it could be delicious. And also, I'd like to taste roasted grapes. I've never done that before. But I do think that I'd probably stick with the glazed quail with green beans and the charred dates. I love a date. I do. And I love eggplant.
I was thinking the same thing about Sasha's dish. Is I was kind of intrigued, but like, take the quail out of the equation. Between the polenta, the creme fraiche, and the roasted grapes, I'm really curious. Like, that sounds really tasty together.
Yes.
So I think that might be. It's a shame that Sasha was on the bottom, because that kind of says that maybe the dish wasn't that great. Could have just been the preparation. I don't know if it was in the combination of ingredients, but I probably would have tried Sasha's dish myself.
Moving on to the turkey, Chris, Don, and Jamie were all working with the turkey. Chris made a sous vide turkey breast and rum braised turkey thigh with toasted farro, roasted mushrooms, and corn soubise.
I think it's just soubise.
I'm trying to add too much French education into it.
You've been a real trooper reading through the descriptions. I'm like, okay, what's she going to say at this word?
Don made a turkey peanut stew minus the peanut stew with sauteed vegetables and savory callus. This sounded great to me if that peanut stew made it on.
Exactly.
It sounded like some of the dishes got the stew and some didn't. I know Richard Blaze's didn't, but.
Really? It seemed to me that none of them.
I don't know if any of them. All of those plates looked stew free.
They all looked stew free, but the way that they were talking at the table. Like Richard had said, like, well, mine doesn't have the stew. And I thought that it seemed like there might be a couple that did, just the way they were talking, but I agree. It didn't look like any of them did, but, regardless, you didn't, for majority of the plates, you did not get the stew in the plate.
And Jamie made a lemongrass turkey with yellow curry couscous, sauteed rapini, and plum sauce. I agree with the judges. This seemed like a lot of strong flavors mixed together. She probably could have highlighted one and been fine.
It seemed like it was an editing issue with Jamie, which we always have somebody on the season who needs, like, Katsuji's it and tries to put too much in the dish.
I loved when she was burning the eyes out of her competitors.
Yeah, I was like, going to say
what
that.
What a move.
Anytime that you are using so much spice that, like, people chefs are putting on masks it. And they can't. Yeah, the chefs have to get away from you. That's a little bit of a warning sign, maybe.
Yeah, Avishar was like, you drove me out of the room with those scents. And that's saying something.
I did really feel, I have to say, I felt for Don. Her, like, she didn't have like a breakdown. She just had like a normal response to, you know, being disappointed. Like, yeah. You know, she's mad at herself. Mm-hmm. She's not mad at the situation. She's an athlete, so she's like hard on herself. She was just so angry with herself.
I would have sobbed if I was her.
Yeah.
In her place. I've been like, no, not the first dish. Like, I know.
Like, she didn't even get a chance to, like, that she, as I was writing notes, I was like, wow, that, like, stew looks fantastic if it makes it to the plate. And I was like, I really hope this is one of those things where it's supposed to be served at table side. And that's why she's putting it in the containers. I would have lied.
I didn't thought of that. I was like, yeah, have them sauce at plate table side.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, I meant for it to be in this. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm wondering if this is one of those things where you have to kind of define it ahead of time in terms of the, how it's meant to be served. But it's like, I don't know if the time just got away from her, like she didn't hear the countdown, or if there was like a. It doesn't feel correct that she maybe thought that you could sauce it afterwards. I don't think that's the case. I think the time just escaped her notice.
Yeah. I think she knew the answer was going to be no when she asked the producers, but it was just kind of like a Hail Mary. Exactly. It seemed like she had a lot going on, and that the peanut stew, it was kind of not in her immediate viewpoint. So it wasn't like, okay, I need to pour this on. It was like, look over, you're like, oh shoot, and I don't have enough time now.
Right. The judges did say that all of the other components that actually made it to the table were really good.
Yep.
So it makes me think if she would have got the stew on, she would have been in the top for sure.
Like, yeah.
I was so, like, it was so cathartic to see her reaction when she discovered that she was in the middle and not only was she in the bottom and safe. I mean, that would have been one thing where she was in the bottom and then just was saved, whatever. But she wasn't even in the bottom. And seeing the look of like shock mixed with relief was actually kind of uplifted me a little bit. Yeah. Like, I was so happy for her that it didn't tank her experience. There was a weird thing, like at the end of the prep of her dish, like someone was helping her plate elements of the dish. And it seems like it's going to be another one of those seasons where people will kind of, you know, step in and help each other out. And it's like the person had like step. I can't remember. It might have been Jamie.
I thought it was Brittany.
But it's like they had to step away and do. Yeah, because Brittany's dish was still cooking at that point. So it's probably somebody that presented after her. You're right. But they had to step away and handle something on their own dish. And it just, just time got away. But I'm very happy that we still get to see more of Dawn. I want to see where this goes.
Yeah.
And then our final group, the Chukar or Partridge. We have Avishar, Brittany, and Nelson. Avishar made Chukar fried Chukar with Joel, Pilau, and South Asian fried spiced pickles. Brittany made a Chukar with sweet potato puree, red grape, ravigote, and calvados jus. Nelson made a Caribbean braised Chukar with wild rice, black beans, and tostones. These all sound pretty good to me. I was a little surprised that nobody from this team made it into the top. Avishar obviously was in the bottom. I think he was probably second to go behind Roscoe, which is a shame. I almost wish he would have pulled to Gabriel and just put the fried Chukar on the plate with some of the pickles. I feel like that would have been a complete bite. I think that would have showed what he needed to show. Nelson sounds really good. Caribbean braised Chukar with wild rice, black beans, and tostones. I think that's like the perfect level of simple, but complete.
Yeah, I'll go for Nelson's as well. I was upset there was no Gruyere on Brittany's Chukar. but you got the red grape again, and the potato puree and red grape is not too far removed from the polenta and roasted grapes. So that's kind of interesting to me, but I would probably also go for the Caribbean braised Chukar. I can't wait to see more from Nelson. I think I think he's one to keep an eye on.
There's a lot of people on this cast I'm very excited about.
It's a really good group of people this season. I think I probably would have gone for the for Brittany's dish as well, just because, like, you know, Kurt was just saying, like, similar to the one we talked about before. But I would have been very intrigued to see a chucker fried chucker on the menu. You know what I mean? That's something that could have been like a really, really good dish. And I love anything that like utilizes pickles in a unique way as well. So that could have been good. It would have been my second choice out of these three, though.
Yeah, I'm wondering the it's almost like I feel like I would want to try, like, just give me some plain old plain partridge dish, a plain chucker dish, just so I have a point of reference. Like, I almost like for several of these, like, I don't know if I've had quail before, but let me have the base basic version and then give me these more complex versions, something so I can say how much it's been elevated from the standard. Because I, yeah, have never had partridge.
Neither have I.
Oh, boy.
So that's it. Sarah gets the win here. She was really surprised. She cried. I would have cried, too. Actually, you know what? I did cry. I cry during every episode of Top Chef. Aww. That's just who I am as a person. I'm disappointed to lose Roscoe here. It felt like he just couldn't seem to get his footing. And I think he's a really interesting dude. So I'm glad we're going to at least get him a little more in in Last Chance Kitchen next week. I'm excited for the season. I'm really excited. It's a highlight to my Thursdays.
I've only been to Portland once, and it was for I went there for business once, and it was like flying in the morning, fly out in the evening. So I didn't really actually get to experience Portland, but I feel like it's one of those cities that I would like really feel, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to kind of learn more about the food there. Going into this episode, I wasn't sure if there was going to be a Last Chance Kitchen or not. I'm a little bit surprised, given like the, you know, kind of quarantine protocols. So I was a little bit surprised that it ended up happening. But because it lets us kind of get another chance to take a look at Roscoe, I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing the last couple of times they've done Last Chance Kitchen, someone comes in after like five or six, and then after five or six people are eliminated, and then. And it's kind of reset, and someone comes again when there's like what, four or five people left. So we'll potentially have a couple returnees from Last Chance Kitchen.
Also, really just like looking forward to Roscoe being able to redeem himself, because you end up, you know, the challenge really was to make some, you know, make a dish that would allow the judges to know you better. Yep. And he said while he was cooking that he'd never cooked this dish before. He'd cook like components of it, though. And it's something that he and his family have. And so you really it's difficult to watch someone that you're rooting for kind of, you know, like make the mistake and end up out first that, you know, with the type of mistake that keeps you awake at night. You know what I mean? Because you did something that is not necessarily true to who you are. And that was the challenge. And he could have showcased so much to give us like a glimpse into who he was. So it's great. That's why I was saying earlier, that's a reason that I really like Last Chance Kitchen, because not only do we get to see the repartee that these contestants have with Tom, which is always really fun, but also just because it gives people the opportunity to redeem themselves, because everyone has an off day. Everyone can get nervous and like make a mistake.
Yep. And usually I'm trying to remember, usually the person who goes to Last Chance Kitchen faces a challenge that's loosely based off why they lost, but because he's not going into Last Chance Kitchen this next, like now, it's odds. I'm trying to remember if like when that second person gets there and they have that.
Is
first
it like
match,
a combo of why they are both eliminated or not? Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to remember, if they do like a combo, like, yo, Roscoe, you left because of this and insert name here. You left because of this. And so we have a challenge that it's both of that. So yeah, I'm curious, like what the challenge will be and who will be there next. So,
yeah.
So that's it for the episode. And I think we should bring back what we've been eating or making this week, or you know, recently, or even in the last like 3 or 4 months, we haven't talked.
There's so much we could tap into. Like, I mean, I'll kick off really quickly talking about Latanya. You mentioned an interesting enjoying the interesting use of pickles. Mm-hmm. I have recently fallen in love with pickle pizzas.
What?
Yeah. One of my friends, Ryan, posted a picture last October or November of a place in Dallas where there was a pickle pizza. I'm like, I'm not a huge pickle fan, but that sounds intriguing. And there's a place literally like a 5-minute walk from me that I was just, you know, scoping out their menu, been exploring what the takeout options are near my new apartment in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And there's a place near me that serves a pickle pizza. And so I got it, and it was tasty. It was basically, really? it was like a garlic aioli, feta cheese, mozzarella cheese, and pickles. I think that was it. And I think the next time I got it, I added ham and onion.
This sounds like a sandwich to me. This sounds like something that should be a sandwich.
Maybe it was a lot of pickles though. So that's been the highlight that I've been experiencing is A, the pickle pizza, but B, kind of exploring the area around me. I'm actually looking right across the parking lot from my apartment, and there's a tiki bar that serves actually pretty amazing food. And I'll go into more detail later in the season on some of my favorite dishes from there. But just been doing a lot more of the meal subscription kits. Like the salmon dish I made was from HelloFresh. Been bouncing back and forth between HelloFresh, Marley Spoon, and Blue Apron. Made a really great shrimp and chorizo paella from HelloFresh the other day. Good stuff.
Well, Tanya, have you been eating anything exciting lately?
Lately, things have been a little hectic for me. So I have been getting takeout or delivery. But before then, I'll kind of talk about both. Before then, I was doing a lot of roasting of things. So I was making a lot of roast chicken because I just love it so much. It's so versatile, and you can put a million different types of sides with it. And you also get to have a chicken for the rest of the week or however long it takes you to eat a chicken. And it's really pretty when it comes out. And I've been doing a lot of fish. A lot of salmon, putting it in the stove with some onions. I'll cut up tomatoes because I really love roast tomatoes. Doing a marinade on that has some garlic and lemon juice and stuff like that. And then I'll have a side that's a veggie, green beans or asparagus I've been making a pretty good amount of. But in terms of amazing restaurants, because I just moved in November to essentially downtown Chicago. So there's just it just increases exponentially the amount of different restaurants that you have access to.
Oh, yeah,
and definitely. And I've become obsessed with this place called Ramen San. There's Ramen San, there's Ramen San Deluxe, and then there's Sushi San, and they're all owned by the same people, and they make can no longer really eat edamame without the S&P mix that they put on the edamame. I'm not technically supposed to have the ramen because it is just salt and for health reasons I'm not supposed to have it. But they have these amazing buns. They have these a pork bun that's fantastic. They have a mushroom bun that's really good. And their sushi is also just the freshest, most delicious sushi that I've had in a really long time. And, sushi in Chicago is pretty good. So I've been kind of subsisting on fish and chicken for the most part. And I'm not upset about it.
This week, one night for dinner, I made a caprese skillet chicken. So it's just I filled a cast iron pan with some tomatoes and onions and garlic. And I'd cooked the chicken beforehand and put it in, put a little balsamic glaze over it with some bocconcini slices. And it was really good. But the problem I find with healthy dinners is that I'm hungry like 2 hours later.
I remember seeing, I can't remember if it's Facebook or Twitter, where he's like, it was something that it was a strange tweet to see from you. It was just like, does anybody know of any healthy dinners? And yeah, that was
I feel like I need to eat more vegetables. I need to eat more well-rounded meals. But the thing is, Ethan doesn't really like fish. He only eats fish and chips. And of course, that's not like the healthiest of healthy. So it's hard for me to get him. He prefers chicken. I'm kind of like, chicken, like, well, whatever. Like, I'm kind of come or go with chicken. Fish I love, and shrimp, but he won't eat it. So what else? Oh, and then for Easter, I made some pavlova cookies that look like eggs. So I made, you know, like the meringue cookie with a lemon curd. And that was my second attempt with meringue, and it definitely went better than the first time, but it wasn't perfect. The lemon curd was great, though. I really liked that. But they turned out good. Like, they're a good cookie. I can only eat one at a time because they're pretty sweet. But yeah, that's kind of what I've been doing lately.
It's a lot. Yeah.
It took a while to make those cookies because the meringues needed about 2 hours to bake, and then the curd had to set. So I made the components on Friday, but we tried them last night and they were pretty good.
What type of commercials, in terms of like food commercials, are you all getting when you watch the show? Like, you know, there was one, and I don't know what it is, but it's for a delivery kit kind of service that I've never heard of before. They essentially stock your fridge, though. It's, you know, you pick out things and they send you really high quality ingredients, but it's like it's as if you went shopping yourself. They stock your fridge for you. And it looked intriguing, like maybe want to try Mama Like, but I don't know the name of it.
Somebody tweet LaTanya with what this service is called.
Please tweet me.
I don't recall because I was fast forwarding past the commercials.
I also did. The Top Chef airs at 10 p.m. on Thursdays here. Too late for baby. I go to bed at 10. So we watched it the next day and just zoom through all of the commercials.
I'm trying to remember what time. I can't remember if it airs at, I think it airs at 8 here. It was like,
yeah, it's 7 to 9 central, 15. So
we get that extra 15 minutes.
I'm so
bad at myself. Like, why didn't I think of that? I should have rewatched the episode on, because I think Hey You gives you the whole episode. Like, I'm so dumb. Why did I forget about that?
Honestly, though, that's one of my favorite parts about the Top Chef podcast is discovering those moments that Haley did not get in Canada.
Like, usually you can see the fear on my face when you start talking about something. I'm like, did I miss that? Because I've been trying very hard to, like, put my phone down, not look at it, like, stare directly at the show. I'm like, was I just thinking about something else? It's like, no, I legitimately didn't see that part. Ugh.
Yeah, I put my phone down and stared directly at the show and didn't pick my phone up until the show was over. To realize that we'd gotten that extra 15 minutes, which cut into the Law and Order SVU, now like new Detective Stabler organized crime twofer show.
Is that another one of your go-tos?
Lately I have been watching way too much Law and Order SVU. Just like, you know, need to calm down. It's too much. But my best friend was in town for a while and just kind of fell into it with me and was like, I get it now. Law and Order SVU is the best. I was just trying to catch up on the seasons that I'd missed because I wanted to be into this new organized crime show. But I missed the crossover part because of Top Chef. I'm not too sad about it. It's on Hulu. But also that organized crime show does not look the best. Will I still watch it? I probably will. So.
No, I feel the same about Pooch Perfect.
Oh, my God.
It's not the best, but I'm going to watch it. Just to watch Rebel Wilson make dog puns. Sure, why not? And these poor dogs. But it's a dog grooming reality show. I'm like,
I've seen commercials for Pooch Perfect.
Oh, there's an egregious amount of like spray paint. I'm hoping PetSafe that is used in that show. Oh, my God.
They anyway. Definitely do have pet safe sprays.
Good.
To make the dog a different color. I saw a woman with a blue dog once. So. Oh.
I think, is that it, Haley?
I think that sounds like it to me, unless there's anything else.
Can't talk about dog coloring more.
Yeah. Stay tuned for the Pooch Perfect podcast.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Exactly. I did make an Easter egg hunt for Ethan this morning and hit a couple eggs with cat treats in it for Jasper, and he did find those. So that was good.
Who was more successful, Jasper or Ethan?
Ethan was better at opening the eggs than Jasper was, so
okay.
I had to open Jasper's eggs for him. Poor guy. Latanya, where can people find you on social media, and or what else can they listen to you talk about?
Well, I am also doing the Falcon and Winter Soldier podcast over on Post Show Recaps with one Mike Bloom and one Kevin Mahadeo. It's a party, basically. Every time we get to talk about such fun things as systemic racism and imperialism. So, yeah, no, we really do like get into the show and the plot points quite deeply, obviously. And you can find me on Twitter at LK Starks. Please come and find me. Say hello. I'm very excited for some of the discussions that I can have now about Top Chef. Now that I can like officially say on Twitter that I'm doing the Top Chef podcast.
Top Chef, Latanya.
And I now know what the K in LK Stark stands for.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
What it's just a nice, very concise Twitter handle, which I very Thank much you. Appreciate because mine is shit, as everyone has been telling me for years and years and years. That was my third swear, everyone. Rounded it out.
Did you know?
Where on internet can people find?
I am at Kirk Clark on everything, pretty much. Twitter, Instagram, the Twitch. The Twitch. You can see me behind the scenes, I guess. I do the weekly poll for the RHAP top 40 season countdown, counting down the best seasons of Survivor. At like 27 or 26 this week. I've lost track, which isn't good for someone who's supposed to be good at counting. And then elsewhere in other worlds, participate in a couple weekly streams of some tabletop role-playing games on Twitch. You can find actually Kevin Mahadeo, who Latanya had mentioned. He and I and several of our friends, we stream a game called City of Mist at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sundays at twitch.tv/DMPhilly, F-I-L-L-Y. And then we do a D&D stream at 9 p.m. Eastern on Monday nights, also on that same location, twitch.tv/DMPhilly. That's been a really good time. City of Mist is really kind of trippy because it's like you play a normal person who's like imbued with the mythos of like Sherlock Holmes or Zeus or George Washington, or like pick any mythical or historical or fantastical literary figure. And how do these lives merge? So it's been interesting. But yeah, that's what you can, that's what I've been up to.
My name's Haley. You can find me on the internet at @hstrong_ on Twitter and Instagram. I also started a new project in the off season where you can, you know, get into what I'm reading on my Bookstagram at The Strong Library. And I do believe I'm joining the Reality Rewind podcast this week to talk about America's Next Top Model. And me and Sarah are going to talk about Next in Fashion this week, too. So I'm just going to have myself a little fashion-y week there, aren't I? Really, you know, torpedo my self-esteem just like it used to. Back when I was a teen watching shows, I should not have been watching America's Next Top Model.
Nobody should have. That show was wild.
God, I love it so much, though. We're watching season 6, which was absolutely my favorite season.
Was there a Canada's Next Top Model?
Yes, and I watched all 3 seasons. I also watched many seasons of Britain's Next Top Model and Australia's Next Top Model.
Wow.
Also dipped my toes into Asia's Next Top Model, too. I need help. I love the fashion, though. What can I say? I love a good photo. Anyway, that's it. Pack your knives. Bye. Love you. See ya. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Don't know why I'm waving.